First of all, I pray for those families, for those victims, Lord. I pray that you will do manifest yourself in their life. God, I pray for the violent, the spirit of murder and of violence that seems to be running rampant in our country, Lord. I'd stand against it in the blood of Jesus, Lord. And God, right now, I just say that you're bigger than any plan that Satan has. If anybody's planning something, God, I pray right now that you'll expose their plan and thwart their plan, Lord. And God, I pray that you will be glorified. And God, we thank you. And God, I'm praying for a great awakening in our country like we have never seen. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want to read our scripture today, Matthew chapter 26, starting with verse 47. It says, and while he was sleeping, still speaking, excuse me, while he was, maybe I'm tired, maybe it's time to go to that. Maybe, I'm going to read our scripture for today. I'm just going to start all over. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with a sword and clubs, came from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one. He's the one. Seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and he kissed him. And Jesus said to him, friend, have you come? Why have you come? And they came and laid hands on him and Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who was with Jesus, Peter, is who he's talking about, stretched out his hand, drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you not think? I love this verse. It's kind of like Jesus slapping the devil in the face a little bit. Do you not think I cannot pray to my Father and he will provide me more than 12 legions of angels? Don't you know I can just snap a finger and say, and the angels will come and just kick Satan's butt? Don't you know I'm doing this on my own free will? How then can the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen? Now, next week, I'm starting a sermon series on the family. And this is some of the lessons that me and Amy have discovered about raising family, raising a marriage. We're going to start that next week, okay? And I hope we're not James Dobson, we're not, but these are lessons that we learn that we know work. And so we're going to start a series on the family next week. But today, here was my illustration to start my sermon off, and I forgot it. I left it. I was going to have a donut and a syringe with some medicine in it. And that was my, give you a choice which one you wanted. And of course everybody say the donut. Well, the donut will make you feel better, but it actually will hurt you in the end. The syringe is full of medicine. It'll hurt for just a moment. Today we're going to take the syringe. Today we're going to see how Satan is trying. Hopefully you'll take some medicine today that will help you be aware of some things. The title of today's message is How Did We Get Here? How is it that people that have experiences with God, they flow with God and walk with God, and then they fall out and just go crazy? And then they walk with God and fall with God, and they fall out. They just keep going this way. How is it that Judas, hear what I'm saying to you. Judas was there at every miracle. Judas carried a basket full. at the feeding of the 5,000 when they had 12 baskets full. Judas carried one. Judas saw the resurrection of Lazarus. Judas saw all the miracles. How is it that that man that saw all those miracles wind up, he hung himself alone in a tree in a graveyard? How do you get there? How do you get from walking where angels would fear to trod, and all of a sudden he's so in such despair that he winds up betraying Jesus and then realizes what he's done, because Satan will always let you realize after the fact. How did we get there, that the point where Judas was betraying with a kiss? And I want to tell you something. I want you to understand something. Judas loved Jesus. There are going to be a lot of people that spend eternity in hell that loved Jesus and loved what he did and loved what he stood for and loved his way of life. Just because you believe in Jesus and even love Jesus, have that feeling toward Jesus, does not mean you are saved until you give him your heart. See, that's where Judas failed. Judas went from walking with Jesus to suicide because he never gave Jesus his heart. He never gave Jesus the hatred in his heart. I'll show you that in just a second. He never gave Jesus that. He loved what he was doing. Probably even loved him. He didn't kiss. Why do you choose a kiss? In the Jewish culture, you only kissed males on the cheek when it was a sign of affection. This is my close friend. This is my close family. Why did you? He could have just walked up and said, "That's the man." You know that there were no lights. That's why Judas knew exactly where they were. There were no lights. They couldn't see. It was all campfire or torches or whatever. So he had to really point him out. Couldn't really see. And so why didn't he just walk up and say, you? The reason is because he wanted to show him, man, and even Jesus said, "Friend, why have you come?" See, there's something about knowing about Jesus, believing Jesus, and even loving Jesus. But until you make him your Savior and Lord, you give him your heart. You give him the hatred in your heart. See, he wanted, we learned this from Josephus and some of the other historians, he wanted Jesus to do what he wanted Jesus to do. And the reason he betrayed him, he wanted to force Jesus' hand. Because he hated the Jews, the Romans, more than he loved Jesus. He never gave Jesus that part of his heart. How is it? You know, we bash Peter at this point, say he's a coward and all that. Here's this coward. How is it you go from, look, it's a big company, a big group of people. They come to get Jesus. He draws his sword and attacks them. Now, that ain't no coward. He attacks them and gets after them with his sword, cuts off a man's ear. And then that Peter, later on, will cuss a little girl and tell him, "I never knew that blankety blank Jesus." How did he get there? How is it that people in this very, they have sat in the very chairs you are sitting, that loved God, that danced. We had teenagers that have danced on this stage and have worshiped God and fallen in love with God, but now they are calling us a bunch of hypocrites, walking away from all the things that they know are God. How did they get there? How did you get? I mean, it's like the prodigal son, when he came to his attention, he said, "Why? How did I get here? I'm eating the food of pigs. I'm eating the pig food when I used to dine with. How did I get here? I don't want any of you to ever go through that. I want you to understand the process so that you can recognize it and stop it. So I want to show you how you will get, because look at me, everybody hear me. None of you are above it. Nobody in here is above it. You think you got it all together? I'll never do that. Son, Satan will make you eat those words. You'll wind up doing everything you said you'd never do and worse. And then he'll wake you up to the revelation. How did I get here? How did I become this person? How did it happen? How did we go from loving each other and being so happily married to now in this horrible divorce? How did that happen? How did we get here when we're two Christians? Great question. I want to learn something from this story from Peter and Judas. Number one, it starts with small things. Your thoughts. It's the smallest thing you got is your thoughts. When you let bad thoughts stay around, when you let thoughts that are not of God stay around and you ponder them, you think about them, you wonder what it would be like. How about this one? Some of you are trapped in this one. Man, if I just hadn't a... And you live in that thought of the past. And you play around with it. Then you try to reason with the devil. Dumbest thing you can do is reason with the devil. No, devil, that's not right. He's, you know, Jesus never reasoned with the devil. He just quoted scripture at him. When you reason with the devil... No, that's not true. This, they're part of my life. You know, I've heard, you know, when you start reasoning with the devil, and you know what I'm talking about, you're going to lose every time. He's smarter than you. Seeds of bitterness. I gave that its own instead of putting him with bad thoughts, because Jesus gives us his own. He says, if you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven. I don't know exactly what that means. I don't believe you can lose your salvation, but it can't be good. Amen? See, that's why that one right there is one. He never gave Jesus his bitterness. He never gave Jesus his hatred for the Romans. That's how you get from the presence of God, walking with God, to hanging yourself in a cemetery, in a lonely cemetery, where your life is wasted. Because you never give. You hold unforgiveness, it will eventually drive you to everything you don't want to go. I'll never get what I want. Things will never change. You let those thoughts hang. Things will never change. I'll never get this thing. I'll never have this. You let that stay around for very long, and that will make you make bad decisions. In other words, you say, well, it don't matter. It ain't going to change anyway. It don't matter what I do to you. It don't matter how I act. It doesn't matter this. I'm never going to get over it. And the way you value things, you start valuing the way the world values. That's another one that got Judas. Everybody looking at me? He valued the Romans getting kicked out physically more than he valued salvation spiritually. Amen? He valued things more. We start letting our thoughts value things of the world more than valuing spiritual things. We start letting our brain and letting other people put that thought, well, this is more valuable than that. It's more, money is more valuable than this. My time spent on this is more valuable in the world's eyes than this. And what happens is we wind up letting thoughts stay there until they build a stronghold, and then they're making decisions. They are calling the shots. My value system is different. I know the Bible says, Brother Allen, but I value getting money more than I value lying is a sin. Doing it God's way. I value my free time more than I value, you know, taking care of my wife and children. I'm grown. Ain't nobody going to tell me how to spend my time. I'm a Southern male, by God. And you're going to find yourself in a divorce court and her taking 70% of your wealth, and you're going to go, how did I get here? Well, you grown. I value my friends. I value this more than this. The value of things plays out how you make choices, and it all starts right here. What are you valuing most? What's the most important thing in your life? If it's not God, you're wrong. Whatever else it is. Well, my wife, my family. No, no, no. My wife knows that she is a strong second. But guess what? She's happy with that because the guy in the first place is going to beat the snot out of me if I don't treat the girl in the second place better. What do you value? Are you valuing something other than God's will for your life? Are you trying to make, like Judas, make God do what you want? I can't make God do what I want. Well, we sure try. You got to take your thoughts. You got to stop. This is when you, and I put this one in. This is when you stop reading the Word. This is when you stop listening to preaching. I know people, look, and this is not, you are not spiritual because you're sitting in here. I want you to know that. You're not. Okay? But every time, and I've been pastoring 35 years now, don't even attempt to argue with me. Somebody gets turned on for the Lord, they start missing church, something's going on. Is it a sin to miss church? No. But something is creeping in there. It's saying more valuable than hearing the preaching of the Word. Listen, that's the way God. If I was God, I would have done it differently. I would have done it differently. I wouldn't have put the value of preaching. By the foolishness of preaching, men's hearts are changed, what the Bible said. Cause what I do foolishness. But he said that's the way he chose to do it. You reading the Word. Do you realize the Word of God says that the Word of God purifies? You realize the Word of God says, I hide your Word in my heart that I might not sin against God? You realize the Word of God even says of itself in Timothy, it says it will divide, it will split the soul and the spirit. In other words, it'll show you when you're getting in the flesh and when you're not. Just by reading it. If Judas would have read the Word, he would have known this was all prophetic, what was going on. In hard times, you got to control your thoughts. In dry times, you got to control your thoughts. Everybody look at me. We love to quote Jeremiah 29:11. Behold, the Lord, thus saith the Lord, I have plans for you, plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. We love that. Well, guess what, baby? Satan's got a plan for you too. He's got a vision for your life. And it ain't just getting you a parking ticket or getting you in trouble. He's trying to destroy everything you have. And it starts right here with your thoughts. What's your thought life like? Number two. I love this one. How many of you here have ever heard your dad or you said to your kids, you hang around that thug, you're going to become a thug? Anybody ever heard that? You hang around bad kids, you're going to become a bad kid. Well, guess what? All you 30 and overs, that ain't just for kids. You hang around people that are not going for God, they're going to rub off on you. They're going to rub off on you. You hang around people that are speaking negative, that are talking negative, that steal your faith. Listen, I had to stop watching the news. I literally do not watch the news anymore. I watch a local thing every once in a while, see the weather, but I don't watch, Fox News is for it. Man, all of them is trying to steal my faith. Some of you need to understand that you're in a fight for your life, and you are. You're in a fight for your family's life, and you are. Because Satan's coming after him. Oh, don't ask, don't tell. I ain't doing nothing. Well, baby, he don't care. He's coming after you. And when you understand that and you know that Satan's coming out and it's a fight, you got to get away from things that are stealing your strength to fight. I can't hang around people that are stealing my faith. I can't listen to people that are breaking me down. Man, you're killing me. I want to say that. I want to get a shirt. Somebody needs to make us a shirt. You're killing me, Smalls. Because when you hang around them, don't. Look. Don't ask me for health advice. Look at me. I really want to get thin, brother. I don't know how they do that. I mean, I ain't the one that look at me. I ain't the one to ask that. If you need advice in your life, don't ask. Ask somebody that is successful with the Lord in that. That's who you hang around. That's who you listen to in your counsel. Because when you, I'll put this up here for you. When you listen to their counsel, here's what happens. Psalms 1 tells us. Psalms 1, just write it down. We won't look at it. But it says, blessed are those who do not listen to the counsel of the ungodly. That's when you start taking it, you hang around them, you go, yeah. Listen, it ain't that big a deal. Man, that ain't that big a deal. Don't worry about that. Man, it's okay to look, everybody's doing this. It's not, it's okay. Start listening to the counsel. Next step, you start going with them. It says, listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Live in the path of sinners. That means I start hanging out with them while they sin. Start hanging out. Is it a sin for me to go into a bar? I went into one a few years ago. One here in town. I was looking for one of my sons. And I busted in there. And it was so hilarious. Because, I mean, we're in a bar. And I knew most of everybody in there. And they started putting their drinks under their chair. I'm in a bar, but I'm not drinking. come on. I mean, listen. Well, is it a sin to go to a bar? No. It's not a sin to go out dancing. Just, no. But what you got to understand is that ain't Satan's plan. We always worry about, the verse that says, give all appearance of evil. Get away from all appearance of evil. You think Satan's wanting you to just appear evil? He's wanting you to be evil. And then you wind up, it says, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. You start listening to that counsel, you start walking, and it's feeling good to you. you'll become just like one of those people that are out there right now. Oh, that resurrection life, they just a bunch of hypocrites. That thing, God, you'll be scornful of the things of God. Don't you dare think it can't happen to you. I can call names of hundreds of people I've seen. Me and Amy know one. Church I was at before we came here, they had a life group of all young couples, about 20 young couples, and they said, we want to reach out. We want to reach the lost young couples. And so, and you know, that's my heart, man. I want to reach out to people. But look, it's like, you know, I'm going to date somebody and I'm going to get them to come to church and maybe get them saved. How about get them saved first before you date them? I'm just saying. But here's what happened. This is truth. They started, yeah, these godless couples said, look, they started enjoying the fellowship. About 20 young couples started enjoying the fellowship. Hey, this is fun. Hey, why don't we go out? Man, there's a great country western bar, and we could all go out and do line dancing together. It'll be fun. We could even take lessons and do some together as a couple. Build your marriage. So after a few times of listening to that, they sure did. They all went on a life group to this big country western bar in Dallas, Fort Worth. And they all loved it. Had a great time. Did the line dance. Started spinning. Started wearing boots, kicking. They all loved it. Well, guess what happened? I'll tell you what happened. Some of them started loving it more than others. Some of them started going when their wife was out of town or when their husband was out of town. And after a while, about 70% of that life group was in divorce. And all of them left the church. Now all of them are sitting in the... I ain't called names. Oh, you bunch of hypocrites. When they weren't, were standing beside me, lifting their hands. So, when you... Thank you. I appreciate you. Lou, you're a good one. Old Lou was my Sunday school teacher when I was little. So he's responsible for the way I am. Do you understand? See, don't be like them two little kids in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Don't be like them. If you don't know, you've never seen Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, you might not be saved. You need to go see it. It's a great story. But don't be like them. That old guy said, lollipops, ice cream, all free today. That's what he did. And the kids came out, boom, chained them up, took them, going to kill them. When are we going to wake up? I cannot listen to people that are not godly. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make, just because godly people are not perfect, none of us are perfect. But people that are trying to go with God. Does that make sense? I believe Judas started listening to all them guys. We're going to get to Romans. Don't you know he's in hell right now going, if I'd only listen to Jesus. Bless him. We don't take advantage of his presence. Peter, I love Peter because he's an idiot and it gives me hope. Love Peter. Peter betrayed him because half the time they were together, Peter was too busy talking. I mean, one of my favorite verses, one of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story of transfiguration. I laugh every time I read it. It's so, it just is so good. The Mount Transfiguration, this is when Jesus Christ takes off his earth suit. The brightness of him begins to blind the eyes of those there. Moses shows up. Elijah shows up. Brightness, heaven, kind of transfigured means he transfigured into what he really is. And in the midst of all of this going on, Peter stands up and goes, you know, I ain't making this up. You read it, straight Bible. In the midst of this, Peter stood up and said, you know, it's a good thing I'm here. In the midst of it, he starts talking about, I'm going to be, his opinion, his thoughts. You realize, look at me, your brain is like a cup, a coffee cup full of water. God's brain is like the Pacific Ocean. No wonder we can't understand. You ain't going to understand. And Peter's going, you know, I'm going to make this a special time because you let me say I'm going to build 3 temples in your honor, all this stuff. And this is what happened. Straight, it says, while he was still speaking, talking about Peter, when Jesus was in all his glory, Peter talking, God, this is so funny. God, it says, God interrupted, even said, God said, this is my beloved son, hear him. In other words, shut up, man, and listen to him. Stop talking. I wonder how much prayer time your prayer time is just you talking and asking God to bless your agenda instead of listening to what his agenda is. It'll cost you. How about this one, Revelation? Too busy correcting. Remember when he gave him the revelation, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God? And he said, I'm going to die. And Peter stood up and said, no, over my dead body, you ain't going by. And right after the next sentence, he said, get behind me, Satan, you're not of the things of God. Can I look at me? I wonder if God really was wanting us to fight a battle over the Ten Commandments on a wall. See, that's the kind of battle Peter would fight at that time. Do I want 10 commandments? Oh, yeah. But it seems like God always wanted them in our hearts. He wanted them in our hearts. He didn't give a rip with it on the wall. Does that make sense? Be careful that you're not correcting God in his ways and fighting battles you don't need to fight. That's what Peter did. And he never enjoyed the presence. You know, I know that one of the disciples did. John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, he enjoyed the presence of God. I am changed in his presence. When Amy met me, she used to make fun about how Cajun I talked. Remember that? Then I went up, you know, to Jackson, hung around a bunch of country people, and now I went out to Dallas, and now I'm all screwed up. But I was talking, you know why I was talking? I never wanted to talk like Cajun. But one of the guys I hung around with, he was from the parish. He was hardcore from the parish. Mayonnaise. You know? And just hanging around him, all of a sudden I started talking like him. In his presence is fullness. Do you understand that when you spend time in your quiet time, you become like him? In time in worship, you become like him. How do you take advantage of this? Just write these things down. Put them up there for them. Then I want to show you something. I want to end with this. Woe is me. What is that? Let me tell you how you have a good quiet time. First of all, you never forget where you came from. You have no right on your goodness to be anywhere close to the presence of God. It is only by the blood of Jesus Christ. See, some of you think you're not that bad. That's why you never experience the presence. You ain't coming into the presence. Even my good works are like filthy rags compared to God. I got to never forget where I came from. I once was a sinner. I once was a broken down, hopeless person. Never forget that. In Isaiah chapter 6, the first thing he did when he saw God was, woe is me. Second thing we do to enjoy the privilege, we got to remember the privilege it is to be there. Celebrate what he has made us. I am a blood-bought son of the Most High God. He is my dad. I am welcome there. He hears my prayers. He knows my prayers. I am going to be part of his kingdom. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I need to celebrate that. Grace on top of grace. What we say, most of y'all weren't here when he sang that, but we were singing a great song that you celebrate his presence. His presence worthy. Thank you, God, because that I am a victor. I am going to win. I am going to be all those things that he's called me to be. Don't ever forget that of who you are. Who I once was and who I am. And when you do that, it helps you see in your, his presence. It helps you see clearly. I want you to read Psalm 73. See and hear clearly. See, some of you can't see and hear clearly. You complain all the time because you got your head up your butt. And I said it just like that to get your attention. You know what your head up your butt, all you can see is you and crap. And you're full of it. That is a great illustration. Somebody needs to write that down and put it in a book. Hey, listen, when I get Psalm 73, the first 17 verses, this psalmist is complaining. He's grieving, man, I've done this. Look at the wicked people. Look at how they're blessed. They don't have any pain. They ain't got any trouble. They're this, they're that. And he starts feeling sorry for himself like some of you do. I've done this in vain, Lord. I washed my hands in vain. I've done all this stuff. For 17 verses, he whines and complains and gripes. And he says something smart. He says, if I had said this to the next generation, I would have betrayed them. Let me just say something. This is something we're going to bring out in a parenting class. Can I say something to you? Your kids are not able to handle your struggles. Don't share it with them. They don't need to know your finances. They don't need to know y'all's struggles. They're not capable of handling it. It will affect them in an adverse way. That's free. At least David said, the psalmist said, if I would have spoken these things, all his complaint, he's complaining to the Lord. And then it says, until I went into the sanctuary, then I saw sanctuary light. Bring sanctuary sight. All of a sudden, nothing had changed other than he saw what God saw. What are you seeing today? Are you sliding backward in your Christian faith because of bad things that have happened to you or whatever? Or are you still progressing? Because listen, you're not going to stay still long. Everybody hear me? If your marriage is not getting better in the Lord, you won't stay still long because Satan has a plan. I want to stop there. I want to show you this. I want to show you this picture. This is a Pulitzer Prize winning photograph. That's a pretty big deal. That's world famous. Pulitzer Prize winning photograph. This was taken in Africa years ago when they were having the starvation and the drought and all that. And let me tell you about this picture real quick. First of all, the mother is about 100, 200 yards down. She's dead. She was crawling to a, she had heard about a center that was feeding people, and she was bringing her child, her little girl, and they were crawling, trying to get to this feeding center because they were dying, starvation, no water, all that. This photographer was sent there, and he was selling. He was really becoming famous in his trade, a lot of the magazine. And so he went there to get a bunch of pictures. He drives by in his SUV, and this is the truth, everything I'm telling you. He drives by, he sees this picture, he sees the mother, and all of a sudden he sees the baby still crawling. He sees the vulture coming after the baby. He stops his car. He gets out. He sets up his camera things, you know, the big wide things for, that they use for lighting and all that. And he gets down and poised, and he's waiting for the vulture to hide. He's got the perfect light. The sun is coming right where he wants it. And he lays down and he's waiting for this vulture to hop in the right place. And he starts taking pictures. And then he gets a phone call. They load up their stuff real quick and they go to another location. Now, let me tell you about this photographer. This photographer grew up in church. He had good, godly parents. He had parents that loved Jesus. He grew up loving Jesus. But somewhere along the line, this man started valuing what the world said was most valuable. He started valuing the thing. He started valuing his career. He started valuing being famous. He started valuing not going to church. He gave up on all this stuff. He became one of those skeptics. He started hanging out with sinners, and he started listening to their advice. And the people say, you got to do this. Don't worry about that. Give up all that. He started listening to their counsel. And he was so focused, listen to me, he was so focused on himself and what he was doing that he loaded up and he left that little kid laying there. Story doesn't end there, though. He wins the Pulitzer Prize. He is celebrated all over the world. And then it happens. He starts getting letters from people just like you, just like what you're thinking right now. What happened to the little girl? He starts getting letters. What happened to the little girl? What happened? Thousands of letters come to this man's house. What happened to the little girl? Because Satan will get you so focused on what's happening to you and your pain and your hurt and what happened to you and all those other things. He'll get you so focused on you that you will totally devalue anybody around you. That man, less than a year after he won the Pulitzer Prize, he wound up killing himself because all of a sudden the revelation, he had left that little girl right there. He could not take it anymore, and he killed himself. All because thoughts started creeping in his mind. He started taking counsel, listening to them, taking their value system. See, can I say something to you? I want to say something to you. I want to be honest with you about a couple of things because I feel like I need to. And this is going to be brutally honest. If you have had an abortion in here, I want you to know that the blood of Jesus can absolutely cleanse you and heal you. You cannot handle that shame on your own. But when you take on the value system, you know, do I think Republicans are... Am I a Republican? No. And I'll slap you if you call me one. I cannot vote for a party that its value system is, I want to kill babies. If that offends you, I want it to. Because Jesus, the Lord, is the giver of life. He's the one that placed great. He placed such great value that he was willing to die for each one of those individual kids. He died for their soul. That's how valuable they are to the Lord. Now, can God heal? Absolutely. If you have had an abortion, you know someone, man, you ought to go with them. God loves you. Does he love you? Yes. But I absolutely am never going to promote something that does that. Does that make sense? That's called taking on the... Well, I'm gonna vote for the others because of these other things. That one thing right there is all I need to know. Does that make sense? Because the world tells us we'll wind up... This guy killed himself because of the life. If he would have picked the baby up and taken him to... Because the feeding and medical thing was about a mile down the road. Baby would have died anyway. You know how I know that? Because somebody came along right after it and took the baby and took him to the clinic. They tried to save it, but it was too far gone. Difference is, one cared and one didn't. Does that make sense? That's how Satan wants to destroy your life. That's his vision for you. And you got to give him your whole heart. You got to give the Lord your whole heart, all your bitterness, all your stuff. You got to give it to him, your struggles. If you've got doubt, you know, if you got doubt in here about things, you know what the best thing you need to do is take them to Jesus. Bring them to him. Say, Lord, I got doubt. You don't, I mean, he ain't surprised or he ain't caught up.